Be back with you this morning. I'm sorry I scared all. Thank those of you that came to my aid, even though I didn't know who you were. And my heart's doing fine. Was not my heart. Come to find out that I started bleeding in my stomach sometime Wednesday before services. And probably my stomach. We're going to do an upper and lower GI, hopefully this week, to find out the source of the bleeding. It's kind of interesting. Your brain knows things that are going wrong in your body when you don't consciously know it. And so what I was been told by three doctors is that my brain sent a signal to my cardiac system to open up all vessels. And so when that happened, my blood pressure dropped and I passed out. But the cause of it was that I'm bleeding inside somewhere, and we're going to try to find out where that is this week. But right now I'm doing fine. I noticed Brother Dietzel moved up front. I did pay attention to that, and I kind of got an idea why. But I'm going to be okay, Lord willing. I thank you for your prayers. You'll never know how much it means to me. I'll be honest and just share something with you. My heart is bound up with you. Tight. I love you more than you'll ever know. John chapter 8, where we're going to start this morning. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." In our sermon this morning, what we're going to be studying and discussing from the scriptures is the importance of the word of God in our lives. As you continue in verse 32, he says about this word, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word of God is the absolute, pure truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through your word." Your word is truth. Again, from the text here, we see where he talks about the word being the truth. And the beauty of the truth of the word of God is that it will set us free. And what we're going to be studying in the scriptures this morning is what it is the truth sets us free from. The very first thing that the truth sets us free from, we will find in the scriptures, is ignorance. In Romans, the 10th chapter, here the Apostle Paul, speaking about Judaism and the Jewish religion, says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God." So the problem was not the Jews' zeal toward God. Here was the problem, but not according to knowledge. The problem was that they did not understand or know the truth of what the will of God was for them in their lives. He goes on further in verse 3 and says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," there's the problem, and the problem is ignorance. They don't understand and know exactly what the truth is about the righteousness of God. He goes on further and he says, they're seeking to establish their own righteousness. The Jews were trying to come up with a means of righteousness through the law of Moses and the sacrifices of the Old Testament. They were trying to come up with their own means of righteousness, and he says, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. One of the wonderful things about the truth of the Word of God is that it can get you out of ignorance. It gives you knowledge of the truth. Going over again to Acts 17 and 30 says, "For these times of ignorance God overlooked." Here again we're dealing with the problem, ignorance. And there was a time when God overlooked the ignorance of the Gentile world and they're not understanding the nature of God. But he says in the rest of the verse, "But now commands all men everywhere to repent." God expects us to change. Change into what? Do what? What is it he wants us to do? How do we have to live to be pleasing to God the Creator? What can we do to prepare for Judgment Day? The beauty of the truth. The beauty of the Word of God is that it gives us understanding about reality. The reality of what we are. The reality of where we came from. The reality of God. The reality of what sin does to our relationship with God. And the reality of how to deal with that sin. Through the Word of God, we come to have understanding. The truth will set us free from ignorance. Going over to Psalms 119. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The next verse says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A light, a lamp, shows you where you are so you can know where to go. With the word of God, I can shine it all the way back to creation itself and see where I came from. Through the word of God, I can shine it all the way up to the throne of God in heaven and see where I'm going to. Through the word of God, I come to understand exactly where I am in my life. And it shows me the path of how to live in life, and it shows me the path to heaven itself. It gives me complete, full understanding. You think about the big questions of life. What are we? Where we come from? What's death? What's beyond death? How should I live my life? The Word of God gives us understanding. Continuing, going back to Psalms 19, one of my favorite texts on this. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Notice this now, converting the soul. Earlier we were talking about how God commands all men everywhere to repent. This conversion, this changing, and what to change into and the direction to take in life, this guidance comes from the truth, the Word of God. He goes on further and he says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The problem is ignorance and not having a proper knowledge. The solution to that is the truth and the light of the Word of God. He goes on, he says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Do you see what the truth can do for you, folks? It can tell you the truth about this world, about yourself, about God, and about how to be right with God. It can show you how to become a Christian. Now let's go to the next point. Going back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. This is dealing now with another aspect of the new covenant and the old covenant. And when we're talking about the new covenant and the old covenant, we're talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, the new covenant under which we live. The Roman letter, the Galatian letter, and the Hebrew letter is dealing with these subjects. He says here, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What he's contrasting here is the new covenant and the old covenant. And you need to understand that Christ crucified, put to death the old covenant. It nailed it to the cross. And he talks about how he's been made free from the law of sin and death. The problem with the old covenant and the fault with the old covenant is that there was no means of forgiveness of sins. All it did was condemn you and made sin exceedingly sinful, and there was no means of the sacrifice of the blood of bull and goats to remove that sin. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, notice this, it made them free. Free from what? Free from the law of sin and death. As you go over to the Galatian letter, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Again, in the context, we're dealing here with the liberty from the old law and the bondage of the old law and the sin and death from the old law and how there is life and liberty in the new law. You stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. He goes on further and says, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage here is the old covenant. The Old Testament, that they were not to be entangled with that yoke of bondage and enslavement to it. They had been made free from that particular covenant. He goes on further in verse 4 and he says, you have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You remember we read earlier back in the Roman letter how they were trying to establish another righteousness that was not the righteousness of God? That righteousness was the idea of the law of Moses was the way to righteousness and being right with God. No, it wasn't the law of Moses. It was Christ crucified. that was going to be the way for man to be able to be righteous before God. And it was through Christ crucified that we could have our sins forgiven and nothing from the law of Moses, because the law of Moses was nothing but bondage. Going over to James. This is why James 1:25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." I want you to notice how the new covenant is described here. It is law of liberty. Liberty, folks, is freedom. But listen, it is not freedom to sin. It is freedom from sin, and freedom from death, and freedom from Satan. And that's the last part of the sermon. Let's continue now. We just read there in James 2. Now let's go to verse 12. "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." There is that phrase again. The new covenant is law. Make no mistake about it. We have commandments that we're expected to obey by faith. But the beauty of the new covenant under which we live is that there is liberty. There is freedom. The truth makes us free in this covenant. And the main freedom we're free from is sin, death, and Satan. Going over to Romans now, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. He says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Look at verse 17. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin..." Okay, this is where we were. All of us here at one time in our life were enslaved to sin. And notice what he says. "Yet you have obeyed from the heart..." What? "That form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Here again, we're dealing with the truth. Doctrine, the scriptures, the word of God that had been delivered to them, and they obeyed this covenant. They obeyed the word of God. They obeyed the truth. And look at the consequences of that, verse 18. "And having been set free from sin," there's the freedom, "you became slaves of righteousness." The beauty of the new covenant is that it sets us free from slavery. The way it's put over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. "While they promised them liberty," look at what he says, "they themselves are slaves of corruption." So they promised them liberty and freedom, but the end result is actually going back into sin and becoming a slave of sin and a slave of corruption. He says, "For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." So now again, we're dealing with bondage, but not bondage to the Old Testament, but bondage to sin, slavery to sin. There was a time in our lives when we were all enslaved by sin. We lived in it and it controlled our life. It drove us in our actions. But whenever you remember what we learned earlier, God expects all men and commands all men everywhere to repent. When you put off the old man and put to death the old man, you are now rising to walk in newness of life, and you're no longer enslaved to sin. You break free from that world, and you do not go back into bondage into it. That's why you go over to Peter, it says in 2 Peter, verse 20. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world..." How they escaped the pollutions of the world? "Through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Let's stop right there. They escape the pollutions of the world. You're getting out of the sin, and the way they did this was through the truth, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember Romans 10:2? "I bear them witness they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." It is through the Word of God that we get knowledge of what the will of God is, so that you can repent. So that you can be converted and changed into what God wants you to be. You escape the pollutions of the world. He talks about here, though, if you go back again and you're entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. You see, you're going back to bondage. You're going back to slavery and sin if you go back to it, and the latter end is worse than the beginning. It's the truth that sets you free from the slavery to sin. And the end result of sin is death. Hebrews 2 now, 14 through 15. Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Well, the text here is explaining why Jesus came in the form of flesh and blood, why he died on the cross, and why he was raised from the dead. The text says that through death he might destroy whom had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection was to conquer Satan and the power that Satan had over us and the bondage that we had to Satan through sin and death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And when he died for our sins, folks. When he rose from the dead, he conquered death itself, which is the big enemy that we are in bondage to and enslaved to. He conquered death itself and the one who has the power of death, that is Satan. And now he has the keys to Hades and death. And folks, the gates of Hades is not going to prevail against us. It can't keep us locked in. We will have the victory even over death itself. That's why he says the next verse, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to death, and we were enslaved to Satan. Jesus came to set us free. Now listen close and tie this all this together. Christ crucified and Christ's resurrection was what God did for us to set us free. But then he gave us the truth of the gospel, the word of God, so you would know about Christ crucified, so you would come to understand what God has done for you at Calvary, so you could see the truth of the way out of being in bondage to Satan, sin, and death. That's why when you go over to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:10, it says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, notice this, who has abolished death, there's the enemy, and brought life and immortality to light, how? Through the gospel. The truth, the word of God, the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of Christ, they're all the same thing. And through the word of God, you come to understand who Jesus is and what was done for you at Calvary. Through the word of God, you come to understand the commands of how to obey the gospel, coming to believe that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of God, realizing he really did die on Calvary's cross for you so your sins could be forgiven. That actually happened. He really did rise from the dead, folks. That's not a myth. It really happened. And it was for you so that you could be set free, so that you no longer be in bondage to Satan, sin, and death. You need to openly confess that faith. And as we read earlier, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent. Don't be enslaved to sin anymore. Become free from it. And be baptized for the remission of your sin. You will have then obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You do it because that's what is revealed in the truth, folks. Not because that's what the preacher says. I'm not the truth. I'm trying to preach the truth. I'm trying to preach the word so that you can understand how to make it to heaven, so that you can be set free from Satan's bondage over you and sin's slavery over you, and the death that ultimately ends in that. Timothy continues in 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 to 26 by saying, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Now notice the close of the text. in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them, what is this? Repentance. Repentance. God commands all men everywhere to repent. The word of the Lord's perfect, converting the soul. You can't repent if you don't know what the will of God is. The truth tells you what the will of God is, so that you then by faith can obey it and no longer be enslaved to sin and the death that comes from it. He says that they may know what? The truth. What it is God wants you to know. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to come to repentance. And the way you come to repentance is through the knowledge of the truth. And he goes on, he says in verse 26, and that they may come to their senses. Let's stop right there. Coming to your senses, the idea of your eyes being open to where you see and understand where you are. And your eyes are closed, and you're in ignorance. Your mind and ears are closed. Your senses aren't working. You're not aware of where you are and where to go and what to do. Truth opens your eyes. The truth removes the ignorance. The truth gives you understanding. The truth gives you light to see where you're going. The truth brings you to your senses to where you realize this is where I am and this is the way out. To where, as he says, and you escape the snare of the devil. That's what we're trying to get out of. The trap, the snare, the bondage, the slavery of Satan, sin, and death. And it is through the Word of God that you can do this, folks. It is through the Word of God that you come to the point of faith. It is through the Word of God, the truth, that you come to understand what the will of the Lord is. You put those two together. When you, by faith, are doing His will, folks, you're going to do just fine. Look into the Word of God. You obey the gospel of Jesus Christ that is revealed in the truth. Not any traditions of men out there. Forget those, folks. Traditions of men is not the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And the gospel was meant to give you light, to show you the way to eternal life in heaven with God. He says, having been taken captive by Him, talking about you being ensnared and enslaved and a captive of Satan. You should know the truth. The truth will set you free. It will set you free. For the Jews, those that were living under the old covenant, Christ crucified set them free from the covenant where there was death and gave them a means to life. That you and I, who are Gentiles living under the new covenant, the truth sets us free. Satan, sin, death. Are you aware of where you are? Or do you have your eyes closed? One of the big mistakes sometimes that we make in our lives is we close our eyes and we close our ears and we don't want to face up to the reality of where we are. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart. Have your senses to where you can see where you are spiritually. And if there is sin in your life and you become enslaved to sin again, break free of the slavery. Break free of the bondage of the sin that's controlling your life and repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. If you are enslaved to sin, break your bondage to it and repent of it. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're separated from God in your sin. You're still spiritually dead. The gospel, the text we read earlier, it brings to life and immortality to light through the gospel. There's a way to eternal life. It's through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe He actually is the Christ? Won't you openly confess it? Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You will be reconciled to God. And then you press on by faith all the days of your life, and you will end up, as the light shows us, at the throne of God itself, in heaven itself. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalms of this election.